listening to the latest is that the Hakoa Club anticipates to reopen membership and to lodge its Stage 2 development application with Woollahra Council in the near future, according to the club's president, George Farkas. Now, Nita, I attended Hakoa's recent annual general meeting where the president revealed that the $47 million development includes a club floor, which will be a large multi-purpose area together with a bistro restaurant with a bar, a 25-meter swimming pool, an indoor-outdoor cafe, a state-of-the-art gym and a full-size artificial football field. Now, in addition, Nita, Maccabi Tennis's 6 courts will be increased to 9. Now, speaking at this meeting, George Farkas said that they hope to lodge the second part of their DA with council in the near future, and they hope to reopen memberships as well, saying that the aim has been to ensure that no one will be disadvantaged by membership fees, which will be affordable to families, while those wanting specialised premium facilities will pay higher fees.
We are all waiting for the Hakoa Club to be built and reopen. I think it will be very important for the community to have the Hakoa Club back. Evan, what's happening with the Rabbinical Council of New South Wales?
Well, Nita, all members of the Rabbinical Council of New South Wales could have an opportunity to vote on the status of Rabbi Pinchas Feldman as a member of the Rabbinical Council. Now, your listeners might remember last year, Nita, the child sexual abuse victim Manny Wax contacted the Rabbinical Council of New South Wales and asked that Rabbi Pinchas Feldman step down or be removed as a member. He cited 6 reasons, including some of Rabbi Feldman's public comments, and that as Dean of Yeshiva Bondi, he failed to ensure that the school had a formal child abuse policy in place. Now, at the time the complaint was made, Rabbi Feldman's lawyer told the Jewish News that the fact that the Royal Commission report did not find failures with the leadership and conduct of Rabbi Pinchas Feldman, that was a badge of honour and that he and Yeshiva wear that with pride. Now, Rabbi Paul Lewin has become the Rabbinical Council of New South Wales president, and he will lead the investigation into the matter with a lawyer, but said that the final decision must be made by the full Rabbinical Council, saying the executive of the Rabbinical Council stood aside as they felt that there was a conflict of interest, and says that the future of Rabbi Feldman will remain in the hands of all members.
Still connected to this subject, but very different, the Royal Commission is to return next week. I thought they finished their job.
No, they haven't finished it yet, Nita. More than 2 years after the Royal Commission examined Yeshiva Melbourne and Yeshiva Bondi's conduct, the Commission will hold hearings again this week. Now, the purpose of the new hearings is to inquire about the current policies and procedures of Yeshiva Melbourne and Yeshiva Bondi in relation to child protection and child safe standards, including responding to allegations of child sexual abuse. Now, importantly, it will also deal with how the two organizations have responded to the previous Royal Commission case study and its reports. Now, Nita, one child sexual abuse victim actually wrote to the Jewish News this week criticizing Yeshiva Bondi for its failure to provide a redress scheme to victims. This victim said that past actions of the Yeshiva Bondi in regard to their conduct towards survivors and their dealing with the survivors' perpetrators has been highly questionable, as was heard in the public hearings in February of 2015, as well as what was reported in the Royal Commission's report released in October 2016. We'll all be watching this very closely if the Royal Commission returns this week, and we will have full coverage in the Australian Jewish News.
Evan, we had few dignitaries visiting Sydney. We had the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. But last week, Professor Tzvia Walden, she's the daughter of the late Shimon Peres, came to Sydney as well.
Yeah, that's right. Some very big names visiting Australia, as you said. Tzvia Walden, the daughter of the late Shimon Peres, addressed a crowd at the National Council of Jewish Women of Australia. She said, "We all want to better society, and much is decided by the place you live in and the values you decide to live by." She says the Jewish community's existence was always pluralistic, with many languages, many cultures, never one person being right, never one opinion being the only one. This is the heart of our tradition. So some very interesting words from Tzvia Walden. She also spoke to students at Emmanuel School, where she ran an interactive workshop on feminism for Year 9 students, which actually coincided with International Women's Day.
And we are talking to Evan Zlatke, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, I read with a great interest the initiative of a 13-year-old boy from Moriah College, a student at Moriah College, to fight the big guys to enable people to park at public hospitals.
That's right, Nita. Your listeners might remember Gidon Goodman from Moriah College. He started a petition for regulation of parking fees at public hospitals. He claimed that they are too expensive, and he actually presented the petition to the then Health Minister, Gillian Skinner, last October. Now, this petition actually received almost 70,000 signatures, and it called for an end to the exorbitant parking fees for patients like him who require regular and ongoing hospital treatment and their visitors. Now, the health minister at the time, Gillian Skinner, she promised Gidon Goodman that a review would examine possible solutions, including the teenager's own idea of extending concessions to people with chronic illnesses who need to visit hospital for treatment at least once per fortnight. Now, Gillian Skinner resigned as health minister, and there is a new health minister, Brad Hazzard, who has spoken on the phone with Gidon Goodman. He says he's firstly had a phone call with the new health minister and can happily report that the review of hospital parking is still taking place and moving forward.
We are talking to Evan Zlatke, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, we usually talk about Jewish-Australian affairs, but I think that threats against the American Jewish community concerns us as well.
That's right, Nita. Very concerning news out of the U.S. At least 7 Jewish community centers in Canada and the United States received bomb threats whilst they were hosting Purim celebrations. Now, these threats, Nita, either called in on the phone or emailed, were reported on Sunday in New York, Chicago, and elsewhere in the United States. Most of these centers were evacuated and searched. However, none of the threats turned out to be credible. For some of the centers, it was their second threat in the past week. More than 150 threats have been received by Jewish centers, Jewish schools, and other Jewish institutions since the beginning of the year. And Nisa, your listeners might remember that last month there was actually a bomb threat at the Sydney Jewish Museum. The museum was evacuated. Everybody was told to leave the building, and police dogs did a search and could not find anything suspicious. And then everyone was allowed back into the building. So some horrible news coming out of the U.S.
Evan Zlatke, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much and have a great week.